Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Nerdcast. This is our, we're not numbering these. I'm just calling them Nerdcast. So this is Rising of the Shield Hero Perpetuates False Rape Myths and Overwatch Fake Nerd Scandal. So my name is Brian. I'm here with Lindsay, and I'm also here with Direhawk. Mike J, I know that his image is there, but he'll be joining us in a little bit. We got a little bit of our wires crossed in terms of, like, what time we were going to start the show. I'm still trying to figure out what the best time to do the Nerdcast is. So, you know, working out the kinks, as it were. So he'll be joining us shortly. We're also going to be doing an after show for this today so we can continue the discussions afterwards. And if you want to be a part of that, you got to basically become a badger. You got to go to feedthebadger.com, start a membership, be a part of the club. It'll get you into the Discord, and you'll be able to join us in the conversations as well as in the after shows. So you can talk about this stuff 24/7 if you like. There's always people online because we have a global audience that likes to discuss these topics. So please consider doing that. Join us at Honey Badger Radio and become a badger and come hang out in the Discord. That will be at feedthebadger.com. You'll see it linked at the bottom there, also in the low bar. So we're going to talk let's talk about Overwatch. We're going to talk about that first because Mike J is not here and he did talk about it a bit on the show earlier. That was on the news show yesterday. So we're going to go ahead and go over to that. Now, I thought we could expand a bit on this. Normally, we would, on the Nerdcast, we just kind of geek out on the things that we like. And I have been playing Overwatch ever since it launched. And actually, just a funny little story, I guess you could say. So my wife, I brought her here from Calgary in Canada, and we were, you know, talking every day online. It was a long distance relationship for a good while. And one of the things that we would do together that was actually like a big way we spent a lot of our time together was we played Overwatch together online. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And that was actually
I don't remember that?
No. I know that was ancient history, but... But that was like one of the things that we used to do together, and we had a good time with it. Now, I know that, like, I think a lot of people who are, like, you know, big FPS people consider Overwatch to be, well, they call it Normie Watch or My First FPS because it's not really made for the super duper hardcore, Call of Duty crowd. It's got more casual elements, the way that they make the heroes, they're not necessarily for everyone who's like super hardcore first person shooter players. It's definitely more of a, let's say, you know, at a lower learning curve, let's put it that way. So, but we did enjoy it quite a bit and we played it a lot. And lately I've been getting a little bit tired of it. Would you say the same? Like,
yeah.
It's like I'm getting burned out, and it took a few years, and I still find the game enjoyable. But, you know, it's like stuff that Blizzard is pulling and some of the stuff that's been going on within the community itself. The community is pretty bad. It's actually making it a little bit harder to enjoy. And this controversy, I wouldn't say it's the last nail in the coffin, but it certainly doesn't help. With my disinterest, we're actually looking into like getting into different kinds of games. Like Lindsay and I were talking about playing fighting games together, possibly, if she's willing to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I brought it up.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised by that. But
I've actually been a huge fan of first person shooters. Like, I've played the shit out of the Halos and
Destiny.
Call of Duty.
Destiny's okay.
I actually didn't want to play Overwatch. Brian convinced me to.
Oh, why not?
Because it didn't look like very fun. It was like too cartoony, I guess. Like it didn't, and there were so many heroes, and I was like, do I have to learn all of them?
Yeah, but you super got into it though.
I did.
You got into it more than me.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jonathan, you can chime in whenever you like if you wanted to say something about.
Well, have you guys thought of picking up Doom Eternal when it comes out?
Well, I mean, yeah, absolutely. But the thing is that I like I'm looking for stuff that I can play with Lindsay, like co-op. That's the kind of stuff I like to play with her, you know, whether it's, I mean, competitive could be good too, but I like the co-op aspect of it. Like another game that she and I really got into when we were playing games was this one when she came to visit. Remember we played the shit out of Broforce?
Yeah.
And Broforce is like a 4-player co-op, right?
Once you unlock all the bros, though, there isn't much of a reason to play it.
Yeah, well, once you've unlocked all the bros and finished the game.
Yeah.
That's
fun.
But that was a lot of fun. And so, you know, and we played Overcooked together.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that kind of thing. Lately, though, there hasn't been a whole lot out there. Like, I've tried stuff. I mean, I picked up Vermintide 2. Lindsay does not like it. I do. I'm kind of hooked. But she's not into it, so now I got to find another solution. I saw that the original, well, not the original, but like Star Wars Battlefront, if you guys are curious or you want a game for really cheap but you didn't want to pay full price for it, Star Wars Battlefront is $6 right now. $6 on the PlayStation Store as well as Steam, I believe. So it's not the recent Battlefront 2 that EA put out, but it's the one before that. It's $6. So then and there's a lot of game modes, so you could play that.
What about Fortnite?
Yeah, I don't know. My little nephew wanted me to play Fortnite really bad. I don't think I want to play that. Like something about the community around Fortnite. You know, it's made by the same team that did Gears of War, right? It's Epic Games.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's another game I played the shit out of, Gears of War.
Yeah, well, Gears of War looks good. That's one of the few games that was an Xbox 360 exclusive that I was like, oh, I wish I had that on PlayStation. But that's a very short list, but yeah.
Gears of suck. I don't think you're very funny, parking lot Batman.
But anyways, so yeah, like, oh, and I was kind of like hoping for a new Borderlands, but I don't know. Like, Lindsay did play some Borderlands, but I'm not sure that you really got into it. So.
Yeah, I did.
We'll play Fallout 76. You can play together. And I can play with you.
No, because you're on PC, right?
No, but I'm not sure, but I think all the platforms.
It's cross-platform?
Yes, I think so. But I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. Besides, you can get I bought a special keyboard for my PlayStation 4.
Yeah, there is.
I figured out how to control it.
There is a way to do that. The only problem is that it depends on the game as to whether or not they'll use it. Yeah. And that's one of the problems with Overwatch. So, like, Overwatch on console was specifically made so that you're not supposed to use keyboard and mouse with it because it would create a really, really unfair advantage to people using keyboard and mouse, right? And and one could say, well, then why don't you just get a keyboard and mouse too? But the problem is that you'd have to ask the whole community to use keyboard and mouse with the game. So they don't allow that in the software. However, there are people that have found a workaround. And so there are a number of people that use keyboard and mouse on Overwatch. And the problem is that there's no way to actually on Overwatch on console. And the problem is that there's no way to actually police that because they found a workaround that the game system doesn't detect. And so people just own motherfuckers online. And you can tell who's using a keyboard and mouse because they have crazy aim and they're basically playing a point and click adventure at that point. So, but anyway, the thing with the scandal. So I just want to touch on this. This is a Forbes article. I believe this is Forbes. Yeah. And they call it the Overwatch's fake female player Ellie scandal is the mess that keeps on giving. So they catch up on the story. It's a colossal cluster mess that everyone is trying to use to prove a different point about the state of Overwatch. Oh, we just got a super chat. The DCV Titan gives us $5 Canadian and says, there's the game coming out, Outer Worlds, I think, that looks like Borderlands coming from the guys behind Fallout New Vegas. Oh, yeah, I saw that. And then there's this other thing coming out called Anthem I keep hearing about. And I don't know much about it, but it's supposed to be really good. People have basically said it's like part Halo, part Borderlands, part Warframe, you know, and part like what was that one shooter that was really popular for a bit that had like you can get into giant robots and like attack people, Titanfall. It was like part all those things. So.
Yeah, it's designed to kind of be appealing to the broadest range audience as possible.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So if they can get maybe 1% of every audience, since it's so broad, they will, you know, be able to support the game.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about this Anthem thing, so... okay, well, anyway, going back to the story here. On the one side, you have game journalists who originally ran with the story that Ellie was a young girl that had been harassed out of the league because of harassment and doxing attempts against her. On the other, you have Gamergate-era crowd saying, aha, you stupid journalists didn't do your jobs, and the doxing helped prove she was actually a fake. But then you have the point that even a fake female player was subject to harassment... Harassment that would probably not have occurred if the player was supposed to be an anonymous boy, not a girl. Or at least this wouldn't have blown up in the way that it did.
No. No, it probably just got more attention because it was a girl. But if you were an anonymous dude, you'd probably get just as much.
Yeah, well...
You know something?
Go ahead.
I mean, I've heard this story like 3-4 years ago. Wasn't there, a female that was actually... this big-time competitive player of, I don't know, one of those shooting games and that, and then they found out it was a guy that was playing. I mean, this isn't the first time this has happened.
Yeah, I think I have heard that before. I will, and that's the thing. I bet this stuff happens all the time with boys. But it seems like when it involves a fake woman or a fake player that is supposed to be, you know, characterized as female, it seems like those are the things that actually make the news. Those are the things that actually get reported on. And that should speak to that we put a microscope to it because there are people who have ideological cause to make it a big deal. And then when people criticize it in the same way they would criticize anybody... Then they act like this is like a special case because they made it into a special case. Because someone that's just lying to the community about, you know, their gender and the reason being, because look, if they hadn't originally got caught, I don't think that they would have said, it's a social experiment, bro. You know, that's just like, it's just a prank, bro. I think that they got busted and they were like, okay, so we're just going to say it's a social experiment. Using a female character and then watch the sparks fly. And that's what they did. They just backed away. I'm serious. It worked.
It reminds me of that Tinder experiment. Tinder social experiment.
Oh, remember? Yeah. That guy,
it's like
right.
The same thing. It's like, no, like, we're not shitty. It's just a social experiment. Look how shitty you were to us.
Yeah, where that guy had the Instagram girl who's like a wannabe singer, and she gets like all these guys to meet her in this like big public place, and they all have to do all these fucking physical feats and answer difficult questions to go on a date with her, and she narrows it down to like one guy.
And they're like, look at how people treat each other on Tinder. Isn't this terrible? And it's like, you just treated a whole bunch of men on like shitty on Tinder. So
exactly.
Is this like experiment now like null?
Yeah, this feels like that. I think it was just an excuse. And the fact is, they say boys or men who play games online that lie about their, you know, like, it's called smurfing. Do you know what that is, Jonathan? Smurfing?
As it implies.
Well, a smurf is somebody who, let's say you're really good at a first-person shooter. And as you play these games, your character, you get like you have like an effective rank. It doesn't affect your gameplay, but it tells people how good you are at the game, right? And as your rank goes higher and higher, the matchmaking of the game will try to match you with people that's close to your level, so that when you're playing, it's not unfair to you or to other players, that you'll always be in a group of people that are about your skill level, so the game is, you know, you get the maximum amount of fun out of it, right? But Smurfing is when you make, you have, you're like really, really high rank because you're really good at the game, and you make a new account that has no rank, and you start playing online games with people who are also at no rank, most of which are probably going to be low-level people who are new to the game or just started playing or whatever. And you have a massive advantage over them because you've been playing a lot longer, so you know the maps better, you know the tactics, you know how to use the weapons, you know, or in the case of Overwatch, you know how to use all the heroes. So effectively, what was happening here was smurfing. This woman had an account. She had a professional player playing on it, and they were streaming it, and she was talking over it as though she was the one playing. So people thought it was a woman that was this good. Now, the players, the professional league guys, never heard of this person, Ellie. They came out of nowhere, and they were really good at the game. So they were suspicious that it was a Smurf account. And some of them even said it's probably a guy playing, but the idea that it could be a Smurf account because you have a person who isn't that high rank that's playing at a professional level is not, first of all, it's not unusual to do because you play Overwatch and we have a huge problem on Overwatch, which has been talked about a lot, with Smurf accounts. Okay, lots of people have Smurf accounts, and Overwatch is going to go free to play in April, so it's going to be free. There's going to be tons of Smurfs when that happens because that means anyone can start an account and start playing, right? So this person was being suspected of being a Smurf account. And when it turned out that it was true, they still turn it around and try to make it about sexism when it's got nothing to do with that. And I mean, it only proved that they were, in fact, lying. Okay, so Mr. Roboto gave us $2 and says, gaming only seems to matter when it includes women. Yeah, well, that's when it becomes a big deal. It's like a rite of passage. Like, if women take interest in a game franchise, journalists and games activists and even developers, they make a huge deal out of it. I think gamers in general don't care. If women are into it, that's cool, whatever. But it's basically the vocal people that make a big deal out of it. Albert Nada gives us $2 Canadian, or $20 Canadian, I apologize. Thank you so much, Albert. And he says, I'm still hoping Rockstar will team up with Playboy to bring us Playboy's Grappling Playmates, an open-world wrestling game with unlockable legendary centerfolds, NSS alumnists, or alumni, I guess you mean, cheeky gimmick matches, and a good storyline. Wow. That is a really ambitious, out-of-left-field idea, but I like it. I mean, I don't know. It almost sounds like something that's been teased before. Yeah. Like, it's so... You should pitch that to Playboy and Rockstar, dude. I think Playboy could use the attention because they're kind of failing right now, so. Especially because I've heard they removed nudity from their books, so yeah, that's...
Yeah, they're failing right now because they wouldn't make that game.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Reason. They wouldn't.
It's the same reason why they fail.
I'm sure the Playmates themselves want to make money, but apparently Playboy doesn't, so.
No. They don't.
Yeah. And then, but because, here's another thing that they talked about regarding the Overwatch story. But because doxing worked in this case, it's easy to see how harmful this is going to be for the future of female players in leagues where they are already practically non-existent. The Ellie case will be used to justify future doxing attempts against female presenting players, and you're going to have endless lol, is she even real memes for any skilled female player that enters the pro scene. All right. Well, again, I would say that, yes, I think that this hurt women in terms of, like, women that were, you know, maybe a bit insecure about jumping into the professional gaming scene. But I think that any woman worth her salt that's really, like, devoted to doing this is not going to be stopped by this. And, yeah, there are going to be trolls that are going to say, lol, is she even real? But, I mean, so... So?
Listen, I mean, whenever I watch the Twitch streams, there's guys on there, and they've been doing it for years, and that, and they get the trolls. They mm-hmm. get the trolls, you know, attacking them constantly and stuff like that, and they're all pleasant to them and that, and then they warn them and say, well, you guys just kind of, like, stop this nonsense and that, and then they have to kind of, you know, let them go. But, I mean... it has nothing to do with gender, of this stuff. It's just the nature of the medium.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people will say that women get harassment because they're women, whereas men get harassment in general. I disagree. I think that trolls troll you on what they think you're going to respond to. Women are more likely to respond to stuff that talks about them as women. So it's their fault. Like, if they don't respond to "go make me a sandwich, lol," then they're not going to get that, because the trolls are going to figure out a different way, to get at you. So don't.
Yeah, they make themselves easy targets by, always seeing themselves as the victim. So they just make themselves out to be victims. Easy victims. So
that's right. Andrew Gauss gives us $10 and says, "Smurfing isn't too bad in other games, such as League of Legends. They are pretty good at detecting Smurfs versus non-Smurfs. The deception with regards to the semi-pro scene is the bad part. How can you tell? How can they tell who's a Smurf and who's just, like, got talent on League of Legends, I wonder? I don't play MOBAs, so I'm genuinely curious.
And who came up with the name Smurf?
I don't know where it comes from. Oh, maybe it's because Smurfs, they look like they're clones of each other. And so it's like making a clone account. Maybe that's why, because Smurfs all look alike. I know that sounds racist, and it is, but it's true. Yeah. Unless you get to know a Smurf and know what they're all about, they just look like the guy next to him.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to do is put a blonde wig on any of the Smurfs, and you got,
Smurfette.
Yeah.
That's right. Somebody said it's from Tribes. I see. I never played that. That's an old game, isn't it? Tribes.
Yeah.
So I'm being accused of Smurfophobia. All right, so then we have the doxing thing. So, yeah, I don't think it justifies doxing. Nothing should justify doxing, obviously. So, no, that's a stupid argument. And in the end, this wasn't actually a big deal, since Ellie/Punisher never joined a team and never played in Overwatch Contenders at all, which isn't even the main Overwatch Pro League. Ah, but here's the issue with that. They almost did. Number one. So if they had, this could have been a bit worse. But what's really bad isn't the fact that they didn't get into a team, because there were teams ready to take Ellie because she was female. Like, they were like, "Oh, a girl gamer, join our professional league team." They were lining up to get Ellie on their team. The problem isn't that, though. The problem is that Blizzard knew that it was a Smurf account. They knew it was fake, and they knew that it wasn't really a woman playing the game, and they didn't say anything. They kept it under their hat. And that's the problem with that is that Overwatch has many times said that they're going to try their best to police Overwatch for, trolling, for people who are Smurfing, if they have any way of proving it, for people who cheat in any way. And Smurfing is a kind of, I would say that it is a, I wouldn't say it's cheating per se, but I definitely think it's not the way the game was intended to be played, put it that way. So they knew about it and they didn't do anything. And I have to wonder if it was because we were talking about a female player.
Yeah, I think it was because it was a female. It made a woman look good. And anything that makes a woman look stronger is what we are promoting right now. So,
yeah. What's the proof that they knew? Jay Damali says the person who made the confession said that Blizzard knew. But Punisher, I believe, said to someone Blizzard knew about it. And they were basically just like, mum's the word. Right. And the thing is that that's supposed to get you banned right off the bat. It's supposed to get you banned.
But it was a social experiment.
But it was a social experiment, so it's okay. Andrew Giles gives us $10 and says, it's pretty easy to look at things like builds, CS, kills, warding, playstyle. Maybe it's harder with shooters, but my Smurf in League got detected real quick and matched with other Smurfs versus newbies. Yeah, I heard that one of the solutions that Overwatch was looking at for the Smurfing problem was to just, like, match them with other Smurfs. But I don't know, like, with shooters, I think it shouldn't be hard, but you'd have to, like, monitor people to look at, like, you know, how long have they been playing versus how good are they at the game. And it's hard to say. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things, I guess. You can't really do a whole lot about it. So,
well, they probably thought that, you know, I know that this is a guy, but it looks like it's a girl. And if it looks like, you know, this is, you know, a female that's really good and all that, it will inspire a lot of other girls to get into this whole thing. And we'll look damn good. We'll look really good. We're getting more women into, you know, competitive gaming. And, you know, they were just thinking the business side of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're really concerned with their brand, because the thing is, the timing on this Ellie thing is really bad, because you look at it like compiled with the fact that the Overwatch community itself is dwindling. The game is going on, what, 3 years now? It's 3 years old. You know, the interest in it is fading. They've rehashed things a bunch of times. A lot of the changes people are not happy with. There was all this outrage at the new character Ashe that was recently released, because she's another white female. Even though if you really look at it, she's kind of an albino, because she has pale skin, white hair, and red eyes. But, you know, and albinos are pretty underrepresented in video games, guys. And that's important. But anyway, they were really upset because they didn't get the black, disabled, lesbian, Muslim woman that they were really hoping for. It didn't happen. So then you have
I wanted another dude character.
I know. You know that every DLC character except for Doomfist has been female? Yeah. Not DLC, but every additional hero they've added has been a woman except for Doomfist. All of them. Even the fucking robot.
I don't like Ashe that much.
What is the robot a female?
Or Orisa is basically a female robot. Yeah, I mean, it's a robot, so it doesn't have a gender, but people are basically describing Orisa as though she's female, in the same way they describe Bastion and Zenyatta as though they're male, so whatever. What was that about Ashe you said you didn't like?
Well, I think she's taking away from McCree. Like, there was already a cowboy character.
Yeah.
We don't need Ashe.
She's actually better than McCree, too, which pisses me off, but... Because McCree is my main character, and he's actually getting overshadowed by Ashe. She's really good. I mean, she's better than McCree is.
I keep getting sniped by her.
She's really good. She replaces Widowmaker, too.
I haven't played her once.
She's so broken.
I'm so angry about it.
But anyway.
So what is she? Is she a sniper?
She's a little bit of both. She's part sniper, part just like, you know, a mid-range rifle. She's got a rifle, so... She's like the best of both because, okay, so she doesn't do as much damage as Widowmaker does, but Widow has to charge her guns, her shots. So it's sort of like a 1.5 second delay, 2 second delay between shots, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's huge in this game. Ashe can just fire one bullet, like like maybe a second and a little bit more. Not even that. It's like about a second. Or a little bit less than a second between shots. So she can kill people faster than Widowmaker can, as long as her hits connect. So it makes her a better sniper overall. And then on top of that, she has a really useful ultimate, and she has lots of other tools like the dynamite, which, you know, does damage to an area. And then she's got the shotgun in case people get close. Widow doesn't have anything like that. On the McCree side, he doesn't have any movement. You know, it's just... Ashe is kind of broken, I think. She's kind of broken. And that's the thing, too, that they've been slowly, like, breaking the game balance. So people have been less interested in that. And then you have this controversy that's come out where... you know, this Ellie business, and the game is going free to play because they're trying to reinvigorate the community. And I kind of like, you know, I mean, I still want to like the game because I have great memories with it, but I'm getting a little exhausted on this.
And Soldier 70.
Oh, yeah. And so, and then they say, so Soldier 76 is gay now, guys. So please like us again. They just like came out with this story that in the story's like lore, you know, Soldier 76 was basically like the most masculine dude in the game next to like McCree himself and Reinhardt, perhaps, is gay now. And so and we're supposed to, and people are just like eating it up like, oh, yeah, that was always the case. It's like, no, it's not. Come on. They just made that up. That's a Band-Aid. That's the emergency woke button. They're just trying to save the franchise. They did the same thing with Tracer. Oh, she's gay now, so stop looking at her butt. You know.
What, she's gay?
Oh, yeah. They made... No. We don't know. I mean, the only ones I think are not gay are Anna and Widowmaker, right? Because they have husbands. And that's it. Everybody else could be gay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because...
Maybe they're bi.
The justification... They could be, yeah. Probably. I mean, it's probably better that everybody be bi, I guess. If you live on Tumblr...
Why it's so important, it's, you know, when they're made gay or not. I mean, it's a shooter game.
Yeah.
I mean, why they have to do this?
Because they're trying to... It's pandering, I think. It's basically trying to... get brownie points with journalists and with vocal games activists. Let me just be clear about
their audience, though, that buys the game.
Yeah, well, I think their audience. Well, their audience doesn't really care because the thing is, in the context of the game itself, Soldier 76's and no one else's sexuality has any impact on the gameplay whatsoever. So it doesn't matter, right? But there are people that. I think that there is a large number of people that don't really play the game but really like the lore. So they watch all the animated shorts, they buy the comic books, they, you know, there's all this other stuff. Like, Overwatch isn't just a game. Blizzard was trying to make a brand. They were trying to make a phenomenon. They wanted something bigger. They wanted to be able to sell toys. They wanted to be able to sell merchandise. They literally were selling, like, when they released the characters, they had all the color palettes that every character has specifically laid out for cosplayers. So they knew what they were doing from the beginning, right?
Yeah, that's what Bethesda's doing, so...
Yeah, and that's a brand. They're not just making a game. So that means that with the lore and stuff, they're trying to appeal to the people that would be most interested in that aspect of the lore, so they made those changes. And Mike J is here. What's up, Mike?
Not much.
Okay.
Hey, Mikey.
Sorry for the confusion regarding the start time. I guess I didn't want to go too late. So I decided to start a little bit earlier, and I forgot that we hadn't talked about it that way, so I apologize.
No problem. I mean, I'm here.
Okay. Well, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. It was just we were out for a bit. I didn't plan on being back till about 4 my time.
Oh, okay. Well, it's about... Okay. Well, it's 4:08 now, right?
Yeah, we didn't get... quite get back on the top of the hour.
No, it's okay. I'm not complaining. I'm just checking to see what time it is where you are. So I guess I was just
it's a 2-hour delay, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. You're in California, so. Well, we were just talking a little bit more about this this Overwatch thing, and we talked about, like, you know, the other yesterday or whatever. But getting a little bit more into the game itself and all the things that Blizzard has been doing to try to, like, let's say, save their product. And also, there's something else I forgot to mention. The other damage control that this stuff is supposed to guard against isn't just limited to the shit with Overwatch, but it's also the other shit that Blizzard has pulled, like the Diablo Immortal thing. Where, you know, they announced this new Diablo game, and when people were like, whoa, is it going to be on PC? And they were like, don't you guys have phones? That's also, I think, a stunt to try to save their company in that regard as well. So,
don't forget World of Warcraft.
Well, they're going back to the... Yeah, what about it?
Well, the latest expansion of World of Warcraft has not had the best reviews. I mean, they've been hemorrhaging people like crazy.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I never would have believed it, you know. I mean, Blizzard, you know, I'm a huge fan of Blizzard since the Diablo days. I played World of Warcraft since it first came out, all the Warcraft series and that, and here we are today.
Mm-hmm. It's
like, I don't know what's happening with all these big companies that have been around for like 20 years, and they're all like, you know, getting sucked into this social justice, you know, world, and then they're all crumbling from the inside out.
Well, what I was going to say, maybe I don't want to be unfair, but it seems to me that the Blizzard shit seems to have started ever since Activision bought them, or they partnered with them.
That's the absolute honest to God truth right there.
Yeah, it's Activision, right? Before that, Blizzard looked like it was the kind of company that the only thing they wanted to make was shit that they were in love with. And then when they got, it was like, what was Diablo 3 when it first came out? Was that after, that was after Activision, right? And that was online all the time, Diablo 3, online all the time. And this shitty like store that you bought shit for your character on, that was post Activision, wasn't it? I'm fairly certain. And Activision, I think, took an interest in Blizzard after World of Warcraft's massive success. And, of course, you know, I could see why they would be seeing dollar signs after that. So, and then...
Well, I mean, remember City of Heroes? You played that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it was NCSoft. I think originally NCSoft owned them and that. And, I mean, they built a game... the kind of game that they wanted, and everyone loved it, and they had a strong community, and then they got bought.
Yeah.
And then it got scrapped because it was owned by some foreign company that really didn't care about it that much or whatever, and it didn't matter if the fans are in America and they all love this game and that. Well, it doesn't affect us because our audience is in Japan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so that's probably... the situation with Blizzard. This is, I think, something many people predicted when they heard that Activision was buying them, that it was going to be a problem for the company. And I guess now we're just seeing, you know, the outcome of that. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But in closing, this guy, the Forbes guy, he basically says, again, I am the most concerned. Huh?
Did you just assume their gender?
Yeah, I did.
Did a call hang?
He says, I am the most concerned about the takeaway that many will believe future attempts to expose female players in the future will now be considered justified because of the Ellie situation. Though it's not like some female player was cheating, this entire situation was created by a guy, and it's now a setback to legitimate female players everywhere, so that's not good. Oddly enough, he leaves out the fact that there was a woman helping him with it, and it was on her account that he was playing. But this was all a man's plan.
Of course.
Yeah. And of course, this guy's main concern is women's, because that's it. That's the only thing. What's going on?
It's not entirely untrue. Doing something like this, who is crinkling the motherfucking bag?
That's Jonathan, I think.
Jonathan, come on, man. Push to talk.
No, those are special effects.
Oh, okay.
I doubt it. But, I mean, there is a grain of truth in there that, yeah, like, this is going to fuck it up for the next woman who wants to go and
I agree.
Like, hey, look at me. I want to play this. And yeah, I mean, it's a little bit.
I think it'll make it tougher for them to earn the trust of players. But I have to blame I have to blame the journalists for this too, because they're the ones that made a big deal out of it.
Of course, out of someone just making
a Smurf account, and they're the ones that are framing this as a male and female issue, you know, like they're making it into a collectivist conversation by basically saying women as a group need to be a part of this more. So and then when a woman does, in the case of this story, when it appears that a woman is doing that, they're like, women should celebrate. This is a women thing. So when it doesn't work out that way, because they've been talking about it in collectivist group terms, when another woman comes along who as an individual is probably worthy, well, the whole community is going to look at her as a woman. And not just the trolls and men that are suspicious of her, but the ones that are supportive and want women in this in gaming, I guess, or as professional gamers, they're going to treat her as part of a, you know, of the Borg. And I guess it's that thinking that's the problem. But I agree that it's going to make things tougher. Although, you know, I brought this up before. There was that story of the Korean Tekken player whose name I always forget that is a female. And she was really good. And she plays Xiaoyu on the competitive scene. And, you know, they love her. I mean, they treat her like an equal. They, you know, if she beats them, it's because she's better. And she, if she loses, it's because they're better. And that's the end of it. So, all right. So anyway, I'm going to go to the other thing I wanted to talk about. Cause everyone's asked me to talk about it. So there's this anime called The Rising of the Shield Hero, and everyone is basically saying, why don't you talk about this? So I wanted to tell you guys, so one of the reasons why I started the Nerdcast up again is because there are people that are asking us to comment on sort of like pop culture-y things. Like we've had people ask us, have you seen the new Doctor Who? And if you've seen the female Doctor Who, and what do you think about it? Or if you've seen Goblin Slayer and the whole rape thing, and what do you think about that? And so on, because there are people commenting on it. So I will, if you guys have recommendations for movies, for anime, for shows, you know, as long as it's like reasonable that I can watch it in time to do a show on it, let me know, or let Mike J know, or whatever. Let any of us know, and we'll, you know, if we can make time for it, we'll check it out and maybe talk about it on a show. So since this anime only has one episode out and there's been a lot of talk around it, I thought we would talk about it briefly on here. There isn't a whole lot to say, and I think that Lindsay and I are the only people who've seen it. Am I correct in saying that? Direhawk and Mike, have you guys seen The Rising of the Shield Hero?
I have heard some of the hoopla surrounding it, but I have not actually checked into it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard nothing about it.
Okay. Yeah, it's a controversy, but I think it, because people are freaking out, we should talk about it briefly. So I went to comicbook.com because I know that they have a feminist bias. And I figure we'll get more of their feelings on it in terms of like what the controversy is. Although I also have One Angry Gamer up as well, which could give us a different view. So,
wait, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Start. So I only watched the first, like, I don't know.
Half? Third? No, a little bit more than half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're like 15 minutes from the end. So we didn't actually finish the whole first episode because we were trying to watch it before this show and we didn't finish.
But then I also saw the scene where he gets accused. And I just want to say it was really refreshing to see that. Because you don't see where like this like... So basically she stole his things and accused him of rape. But everybody is just going with her side of the story. And I thought it was really like a cool idea. I didn't really get into the show that much. I don't think it's that interesting.
Yeah,
like the game.
It's okay.
The game element stuff is just pulls me right out. But that whole topic in stories, I think, needs to be like more. There needs to be more of it.
I
think it was intriguing. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So let's see if we can like sum up here. So I'm going to go back to comicbook.com. So here's why everyone is up in arms over The Rising of the Shield Hero. Anime is not without its fair share of controversy. And although the new anime year just began, it seems another show has become the center of a fierce debate as Aneko Usagi's The Rising of the Shield Hero's adaptation has struck some major chords. The Rising of the Shield Hero's first episode has sparked controversy among fans for its depiction of false rape accusations, as well as hinting at slavery as a major plot thread moving forward. So I haven't gotten to the slavery part because I think there's still like 15 minutes left in the episode because it was longer than I thought it was going to be. So, all right, so spoiler warning. This is going to spoil the first episode. The Rising of the Shield Hero is an isekai series in which a student named Iwatami Naofumi is transported to a fantasy world along with three others. Summoned as the four heroes, each one is given a special weapon, with Naofumi given the titular shield. Only a shield, by the way. There's something strange early on as everyone seems to treat Naofumi differently just because he has the shield and belittles the fact that he's supposed to be one of the heroes meant to save the world. When the four heroes put together adventuring parties, Naofumi ends up with a single woman, a woman named Malty. On the second day of forming a team with Mine, her name is supposed to be Mine. I don't know why he writes Malty here. It's just Mine. Naofumi wakens to find that his introductory silver and gear are gone. When trying to discover the cause, he finds that he's been accused of rape. Mine, crying, says that Naofumi broke into her room the night before, pinned her to the ground. This is further exasperated by a torn negligee found in his bed. Now, when Naofumi attempts to defend himself, he is quickly shunned by the three other heroes, and the king nearly sentences him to death because assaulting a woman is considered one of the gravest sins in their matriarchy, although Naofumi escapes it by being one of the four heroes who have to save their world. Trying to plead with Mine, she stops crying for a moment and sticks her tongue out at him, confirming suspicions that she did all of this to trick him. This is further emphasized by the fact that she never called Naofumi by name and instead referred to him as Sir Hero for their short time together. The rape accusation tarnishes Naofumi's reputation in the kingdom, which had already been weak due to other negative rumors about his personality, intelligence, and strength. Naofumi then begins his adventure cynically and spitefully and works to save the kingdom from coming monsters, lest he never make it back home. Starting on a rape accusation paints the entire series in a bad light according to its detractors, as it's meant to set the entire series in motion. Rape as a plot device is bad enough.
What?
But here it serves as the origin of the entire plot.
It wasn't rape, though. It was a rape accusation.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a great way to start a story, because it's like, how much worse can it get?
Well, they even act like it's the worst thing. Actually, this guy gets it a bit wrong. I want to clarify. He says that assaulting a woman is a death penalty. No, they say even if you attempt to assault a woman, it's considered the death penalty. That's different from actually going through with it. So even attempted sexual assault has the death penalty in this setting. And it is a matriarchy, according to the character's description, where even though it has a king, everyone, they all do what women ask them, I suppose. You know, like they don't decline a woman's request. So it's sort of like taking the saying, the woman asked the question, and basically like, well, I mean, it's just like real life, really. What's made it worse is, in the eyes of its detractors, are the implications of what kind of message a false accusation of this nature sends to the audience. The presentation of the accusation in a world where women hold the power is that it makes women untrustworthy in the eyes of the series. That women are capable of accusing men's... What?
That one woman. Yes.
Yes. No. No, because we have to talk about women as a collective. That women are capable of accusing men of such things as rape as a way to take advantage of unsuspecting men like Naofumi. That her accusation shouldn't be taken at face value. And that the sinister way in which it plays out only further exacerbates the oddness of such a thing. So he's considering the false rape accusation as odd. That is really funny. If you guys have any comments on that, just send me... Send us a super chat.
I want to respond to one. I think Xerinx, he said that death is worse. I don't know.
Wait,
man.
Where is it?
I think there's things that are worse than death, like living a life where like all of the people around you hate you.
Yeah,
that might be a bit worse.
Well, I don't know about that. I've often asked myself that question, and I think death is it's too final, if that makes any sense. Like, even if everyone around you hates you, as long as you're still alive, there's a chance you can convince people otherwise. Mm-hmm. But if you're dead, it's just, you're dead, yeah. It's game over.
Well, isn't the reason why we fear that we could be, like, alienated and despised by everyone around us is because it is a kind of death? Like, it could lead to a death because no one will help you and you could just end up dying?
Well, yeah, but then alone. You're just back to square one, which is death, which is still worse, which is still an option.
Yeah, well, that's why I was bringing it up. I mean, I think that social death can be, you know, its own... It can be fucked up in its own way, but... okay, so Q Brother Soulstar gives us $2 and says, check Anime's News Network. Okay, I'll look it up. The DCV Titan gives us $5 Canadian and says, spoiler, it is a matriarchy. The queen is currently abroad making alliances against the waves. Oh, okay. So there you go. I mean, I don't think it can be a matriarchy and there could be a king if he's just like working in service of everybody else. So in particular, they're women.
This is so funny. If he just, go ahead. I mean, he's put into a situation where he, if he doesn't go and do his duty and save the kingdom, he doesn't get to go home.
Right.
Right. But the kingdom falls. If he goes and he chooses to do his duty, regardless, he's not going to get any help. He's seen as a piece of scum or whatever. He's working to save, you know, the society that put him in that position in the first place, but he gets to go home. I mean, it's a shitty situation either way. So, but the better choice is to just, you know, deal with it and actually try to get out of there. Save these people and get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I don't think it's about rape. I think it's about creating a shitty situation.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's the whole thing. And they
absolutely.
And I mean, just, isn't that a good story idea? Like, how do you get from like having a terrible reputation and overcoming it and overcoming, caring what other people think about you and being accused of rape, and how do you get over that? How do you become a hero after that? I think it's great.
And it's clearly the anime treats rape as serious, because not only does the whole kingdom turn against this guy because they think he's a rapist, but the guy himself is like the fact that he feels so traumatized by the accusation shows that he actually, you know, cares that he's being accused of this. Like, this is a very serious thing. And the woman who wields that against him, Mine, knows that the rape accusation has power. And part of it likely has to do with the fact that it is a matriarchy. Like, if you lived in a matriarchy, a real, like, you know, a matriarchy in the sense that the way they're describing it, imagine what the penalty must be to speak to a woman without permission or to touch a woman without permission, right? So
I do wonder if they're going to explore that in the future episodes.
I don't know. Somebody says we already live in a matriarchy. I think that it's pretty close. I think it's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah, like this guy like saying that it starts off with rape.
Yeah, exactly. Presuming, and we're talking about a fucking cartoon, by the way. You know, the whole time I'm watching this anime, which is for me anyway, it's just kind of average. You know, like an anime that looks like it's based in a world that's sort of like a video game is not new. Like, I think literally Overlord is that.
I watched
that. And like other things are that. There was
Sword Art Online.
Oh yeah, Sword Art Online. Yeah. Yeah, there's just like, it's pretty tropey at this point, isn't it? I remember when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's that. And it's like the people who make them are people who played a lot of video games, and so they're just applying the logic to the stories. Again, yeah, Dot Hack is another one. I think that might have been the first one, actually.
First one I remember.
Yeah, it's the oldest one I remember. So, but nonetheless, you know, I'm watching this, and it's kind of average, and it's not like, you know, I don't find that it's blowing my skirt up, and the animation is okay, and then, like, the thing happens, and I'm like, I'm watching an anime to talk about false rape accusations. Like, what is this world? Like, why are people taking this so seriously? It is a really good way to tell a story, to catalyze something. And it's not unusual. Like, when I saw that, I was like, I've seen other animes where girls have falsely accused men of rape to get their way.
Oh, really?
That's not uncommon.
I don't know if I've seen it.
But no, it's actually, it's absolutely.
Basically, you basically sold your whole society off,
mm-hmm.
you know, for yourself, because this is this hero that's there to serve and to protect your own society, and you threw him to the wolves.
Yeah,
just to save your own butt and get ahead. So your whole society is going to dump on him and make him his job almost impossible to do, which creates a lot of conflict and a lot of stories. But it's also going to cause a lot of, you know, trauma for not just him, but all the victims that will be created of this because he can't do his job properly.
Yeah.
So there's consequences to that one thing, and it was a very selfish act. And if that to me basically sums up probably what that whole society was built on. They're all a bunch of selfish pricks.
Yeah. And that's one of the other things is that in this anime, this first episode, the other heroes that, because they summon four heroes, The other three are just, they establish it right off the bat. They're assholes, like right off the bat. And basically everyone is an asshole except for the main character. It's almost a little bit too, beaten into you. And so when this woman joins his party when everyone else is treating him like shit, and she's super nice to him and super sweet to him and flirty and everything, Lindsay became really suspicious. She was like, is this the girl that accuses him? And I was like, well, I heard the girl that supposedly does that is a princess, and I don't think this woman's a princess, but I haven't seen the whole episode. And sure enough, the one person who's nice to him is the one that turns on him and fucks him over the worst. And I'm like, okay, so there's basically everyone's shit in this, except for like the blacksmith or whatever, the weapons dealer, and the main character. And the idea that the only thing that people are freaking out over is the false rape accusation, and their worry is that people are going to watch this anime, women who are victims of rape are going to watch this anime and say, you know what, I was going to come forward and go to the police about my rape accusation, but I'm afraid they're just going to see me as another mine, and they're going to assume that I must be lying so that I can get all of that guy's silver and chainmail to give to my boyfriend. Apparently. That's the way women think when they watch anime. They think it's real life. So, I don't know. Let's see if you guys have anything else to say here. Catherine Scully gives us $5 Canadian and says, people who don't like this should stay away from Game of Thrones. Keyblade Master Andy gives us $5 Canadian and says, according to Appabend, the story arc has a very satisfying ending. Well, that's good. I know that there's a manga, so I could just read that. But I frankly, you know, it's not really my cup of tea. Like, when I was a teenager and I was really into anime, I was like, even in my 20s, I would watch anything I could get my hands on because it was really hard to find, and anime was like niche, and also like the stuff that came to the States was usually like the cream of the crop. But now that it's like so accessible, I'm not into it like I used to be. So Mark the Atheist says, what's the name of this cancer anime? Well, I don't think it's bad. It's just kind of like there. I think that people are making a big deal out of it, though. It's called The Rising of the Shield Hero. It's on Crunchyroll. So I had a Crunchyroll already because I was watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. So I figure I may as well justify my membership because I'm only watching one show on Crunchyroll. So I may as well watch something else. So again, if you guys have any other suggestions for shows I should check out and talk about, then, you know, like, send it to us, or any movies or anything like that. I'm going to be watching a series with Lindsay pretty soon called True Detective. And it's because I've seen it before. The first season is fantastic. I love that show. I think she'd like it, too. So have you guys ever seen it? You haven't seen it. Mike J., you got to see that.
It's one of those things that's on my very, very long backlog.
You know what else I'd like to watch? I think it'd be great for a Nerdcast. I mean, we've seen it already, but we could talk about it. Maybe I'll watch it again. Is Band of Brothers. Have you ever seen Band of Brothers?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, yeah. That's a classic right there.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Lindsay was crying at one point. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You were crying at when they found the Jews. She was crying. It's good stuff. I mean the concentration camps, they just didn't go to like a deli and there was like a guy there that was like, hey, you want a sandwich? No, it was like they found the concentration camps. It was good. It's a good show. Anyway, we're gonna go ahead and get out of here, but we're gonna go into an after show. So we're gonna talk, somebody made a recommendation. I think it'd be a great after show thing. We're gonna look at this post on animefeminist.com, because I know it's going to be juicy, that talks about the Rising of the Shield Hero review, episode 1.
Oh, look, it's got a trigger warning.
It's got a trigger warning. Let's read that. Content warning, discussions of rape and human trafficking. Oh, my God. Anybody who's ever been a victim of rape and human trafficking probably don't want to, like, watch this show.
But fuck anyone that has ever been a victim of a rape accusation.
Yeah, fuck those people.
Yeah, what?
Who cares? Men? It's a myth, guys. Only 2%. Only 2 to 4% of rape accusations are false. Anyway, so with that said, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. Thanks, guys, for coming on the Nerdcast. Let us know if you have any other suggestions for topics. Just put them in the low bar, or I'm sorry, in the comment section. Leave us a comment. That's right. And also give this video a like and subscribe to the channel if you aren't already. And we'll talk to you guys very soon. Thanks for coming on.